Amen. You may be seated as you are. Our kids can be dismissed to Rooted at this time. So if you're that age, go and have a great time learning. Worthy, worthy is His name. You know what? I think maybe sometimes if you think, you wonder why you get up, get dressed, and go to church. Man, when you think of what and who God is, worthy of all of our praise, I think it brings us to the place where we sit in awe of who He is and what He is capable of doing. And that's our God that we get to worship. As we start, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open Your Word together, our desire is that You would speak to us and that You would cause us to maybe take a deep look inside. As we've been discussing discipleship and we look at this idea of carrying the mat, Lord, I pray that You would move us to be individuals who would carry the mat for others. Lord, speak to our hearts in these moments and draw us closer to You. In Your name we pray. Amen. The story that you heard a little while ago is actually found in Luke chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles or a device, you can turn there with me. We'll read the story so you get what the Bible actually does say, not what some guy said, just in case. I want it to be right. But Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17, says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, He said, 'Friends, your sins are forgiven.' The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, 'Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, 'Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, "Your sins are forgiven," or to say, "Get up and walk"? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' So He said to the paralyzed man, 'I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home.' Immediately He stood up in front of them, took what He had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, 'We have seen remarkable things today.'" What an incredible story. Again, this is one of those ones. If you've been raised in the church from childhood or at some point in time, you've probably heard this story over and over and over again. And oftentimes, this story focuses on the man who was healed. But I want to look at it today from the standpoint of discipleship and actually from the standpoint of what is involved in effective discipleship. If I want to grow in this faith, in my relationship with Jesus Christ, there are some things that we see in this story that are vital to our walk and to growth and to discipleship. This guy had friends. You think about that. Quick question. Do you have friends that would be willing to carry a mat and rip through a roof for you? I mean, what an incredible story. This is what the story, I mean, there's so many facets to it, but one of the things you begin to see here is this is not an individual sport. Discipleship, growth as a Christian, is something that involves other people. I mean, he had four friends. They carried it for him. As we look at this, I want us to see what brings on effective discipleship. You see, we can go through life and we can just do the minimum, right? We can go to church, we can read our Bible, we can do that, and we can live and do that way, it'll go. But if we are to see effective growth, there's some things that we should get. And I've already kind of referred to this, but really what we need to understand is discipleship is a group effort. This cannot be a something that I do by myself. If we're going to grow, it requires that we have others involved in our lives that help us to grow. These four guys were willing to come in and take a corner of the mat and carry him. They saw that Jesus was there. They knew Jesus had been healing. They knew that Jesus had the capability of healing their friend, and so they decided that they were going to bring him. Understand that the paralyzed man couldn't pick up his own mat and carry himself. He couldn't grab the four corners and lift himself up. I mean, it would be an interesting trick to see somebody do. But I don't think there's a person in here that could do that. If you're laying on a mat, you're done. And he had these four guys that were willing to come alongside. You know, it's interesting because in all of the years that I have been in ministry, in the years that I've read the Bible, as I've read through, there's something that I have struggled to find that we tend as Christians to almost hold as gospel truth to ourselves. I can do it on my own. As a matter of fact, the more I read Scripture, the more that I find that on my own, I'm going to fall really short and I'm going to cause problems, actually. But if I look at Scripture, I find way more verses, what I call one another verses, about others being involved in our lives, others encouraging us. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, this is what Paul says. Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." That is something that I mean, could you imagine if you read Scripture and it said, "Therefore, encourage yourself and build yourself up"? I mean, some of us are going, "Well, that's my paraphrase," but no, that's not what the Bible says. Encourage one another. In the book of Hebrews, the author in Hebrews 3:13, he says, "But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." In this passage, we see the importance of others in our lives. We see the importance of others taking the corners of our mat, because this is the thinking is, if I can do this on my own. Let me tell you this. The moment that we get to the place where we go, "I don't need anyone else," is the moment that Satan has us. He's got us right where he wants us in that moment. Because at that point in time, we think that we're better than everybody else. We think we're more spiritual than everybody else. "No one can help me. I don't need your help. You can't tell me anything." Therefore, Satan's just going, "Perfect. This is where I can do this." But understand, we are to exhort, encourage one another, lift one another up. Paul, again in Galatians 6:2, he says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." What a perfect image of what that verse is talking about. The four friends come alongside of the paralyzed man and they say, "You know what? We're going to literally carry your burden. We are carrying you to the one who can heal you." Carry one another's burdens. God has placed us in people's lives. God has placed people in our lives to impact one another with the gospel and with this whole idea of discipleship. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a theologian or not. It doesn't matter if you understand everything that this book says. It doesn't matter any of that, as long as you can grab a corner of the mat and you can pick it up and carry it. Discipleship is a group effort. We also see in this story that discipleship takes action. Again, this is such a great story because you see the friends in this side. We already talked about this a little bit, but the action that the friends took was that they had to pick up the mat. Can you imagine if the friends would have come to him and said, "You know what? Jesus is in town. He's at a house across town and he's talking and he's healing people and it's going to be such an incredible thing. Man, it's a bummer that you're paralyzed. You can't get up and go. You know what? I tell you what. We're going to go. We're going to listen. We're going to see what Jesus says. And we're going to come back and tell you about it." You're going, "What kind of friends are those?" But understand what they said. They took the action. They knew the problem. This is always the fun part. Sometimes we are good with the problems, right? We can point out the problem. You know, "Hey, you know, this right here, this is bad, this is wrong, that's, you know what I mean." And we'll point out all the problems with no problem. But sometimes we fail to be part of the solution. And that's what happens here. The guys are going, "Okay, problem, paralyzed friend, he can't get up, he can't walk, that's a real problem. Bummer you have that problem." solution to the problem. There's four of us. Let's each grab a corner and let's carry him. They took action. You know, it's interesting because in our culture of today, we're very sensitive, aren't we? The whole cancel culture is something that's kind of permeated everywhere. That we get to this place where we're like, oh, you know what, we gotta be real careful about how we do this. You know what? I don't want my friend to think that I'm prying into his life by asking him questions. You know, I don't want him to be uncomfortable or her to be uncomfortable. You know, it's just kind of awkward when I ask those questions and it just kind of doesn't go well. And, you know, I don't know. I don't want them to think that I'm this better Christian than them and you know, that I'm looking down on them because I'm trying to ask them to come and be a part of these things. You know, I just feel like maybe it's better if I wait until they ask me and then I can talk to them all they want. But what that person might need is actually the person coming alongside them and taking up the mat. In all of my years in ministry, in all of my years as a Christian, can I tell you one testimony I have never heard? I have never heard a person come to me and say, Pete, this guy in the church came to me and there was this like a men's conference. And he was talking all about it. It was great. And he invited me to go. And I walked. And it was, you know, I walked up and I met Jesus. And man, I really wish he never would have asked me to do that. I've never heard that. Never. I have heard time. I have seen some of these guys that have, you know, they've been strong men that are sitting there. And in that moment, their eyes begin to tear up. And they're going, you know what? My friend had enough in him to say, Let me invite you. Not knowing what I would do, he took the corner of my mat and he picked me up and he brought me there. And I tell you what, if he had never invited me, I know I would have never come to know Christ. I was going down a path that was going to be very self-destructive. Sometimes we need to grab the mat. We need to take action. We see this action all throughout Scripture. As a matter of fact, in Acts 2:42, the early church, look what it says about the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, notice the word. They devoted themselves. Now, another thing, it doesn't say this, but it says it in a couple of verses later. It says that they actually did this daily. Devoted means that this becomes a part of my life. The action that was taken was that they were daily coming in. Daily they met. Daily they were encouraging one another. Daily they studied the Word together. Daily they broke bread. Daily they prayed. Are you getting the Word there? Daily. They were devoted to one another, that they met together in such a way that they could grow. Proverbs 18:15 says, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. It takes action for us to grow as a disciple in Christ. And it's not a once a week thing. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing that requires action from me. It's a daily thing that requires action from others who are willing to carry my corner as the early church did. I want you to look with me at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. This is a great verse, a passage for our younger men and women, teenagers, preteens. I want you to see what it says here. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? Let me tell you this first. It doesn't just happen. By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Growth takes action. Discipleship is not a passive thing. We don't just have it happen. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is a full engagement, and it's a full engagement in others in my life to come alongside of me and to challenge me, to help me to grow, and in the meantime, I'm helping them to grow as well. We are growing together, as we'll talk in a few moments. But discipleship involves action. And to continue on with that idea, not only does it require action, but it also requires determination. We have seen that already in some of it. Discipleship requires determination. Again, in this story, what a cool part of the story Again, we tell the pretty cool. It's kind of a fun story. But do you realize how determined the friends were to get their friend in front of Jesus? They picked up the mat. They carried him. They brought him to the house. They find out that it's too full. There's no way to get inside. They were not going to get him to Jesus. So they go upstairs on the rooftop. Now, if you know the homes that are there, they were often clay. There was over different things, wood and different things. But a lot of times they would use that upstairs as kind of like a hangout area. It was used to go up there and be used. And they walked upstairs. Could you imagine being in the house? Now remember, this was not any one of their houses. This was somebody else. This is some stranger's house. They walk into some other person's place and they start tearing the house apart. That's called destruction of personal property. People go to jail for that. They were willing to do that. They go, I mean, could you imagine you're sitting there and Jesus is teaching and here's these people and all of a sudden they start kind of hearing a scratching sound up above their head. Next thing, there's all of a sudden little pieces dropping on their heads. You know, all of a sudden you see like a little chunk of wood come down, a piece of plaster almost hits you. And then all of a sudden you see there's like this big opening, a hole in the roof, and here comes down this mat. I mean, that's a pretty big thing that's happening there. They were determined to get their friend to Jesus. This wasn't just a, you know, if it works, it works. This was a, we're going to do this. They were willing to go to jail if it meant it. If we can get our friend to Jesus, we're willing to do whatever it takes. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? In 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, Peter gives us this instruction. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. This is a real challenge to me. And it really should be a challenge to all of us. But the question is, do I crave to learn? Do I crave to grow? Do I crave to be a part of this discipleship place, this discipleship life? And am I willing to do whatever it takes? Let's take a second here and maybe do a little introspection. Let me ask you this question. How many times outside of a Sunday morning, so if you didn't attend a Sunday morning service, how many times are you with other believers for the purpose of studying God's Word together? How many times? Well, Pastor, I read my Bible every day. Well, that's good. But is that what's needed? Are we helping others grow? Paul was mentoring Timothy. He was a young pastor, and Timothy's learning all of this. And I want you to see some things that Paul says to him in 1 Timothy 4, starting at verse 7 and 8. Paul says to Timothy, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Now, someone might look at that and go, well, look right there, Pastor. It says, train who? Train yourself. So I can do that. Outside of church, I can train myself. We're almost at the end of the Olympics, right? Anybody been watching the Olympics? A little bit? Okay. You know what I find very interesting? There's a lot of individual sports. But do you know how many of those people actually do their training alone? None. As a matter of fact, if you find a person that's training alone, likely they're not at the Olympics. Because they need those other... They have a coach. They have somebody that's pushing them, that's showing them the little nuances of, here's what you're doing, here's what you're doing. They have somebody who's probably also videoing them and showing them. They have a nutritionist. They have a strength coach. They have all of these people surrounding them that are helping them to improve so that they can be effective and win in the games at the Olympics. They do not train by themselves. And yet we think that I can be an effective disciple for Jesus Christ with nobody else involved in my life. Paul continues with Timothy in verse 13 of 1 Timothy 4. He says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture and to teaching. Notice the two words there, devote and public. Both of those bring about a whole different idea. Be engaged. Be determined, but not on your own. Involve others. Get in the lives of others. Disciple others and bring them along. And then in verses 15 and 16 of 1 Timothy 4, he continues, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, now look at the result, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Now, if all I'm doing is spending time by myself, reading God's word, doing my own devotions, praying by myself, who am I impacting? Nobody else. I'm not picking up anybody else's corner. And yet, this is how Paul says to Timothy, be involved in this way. You know what? But I'm too busy. Over this, the years, I've noticed a trend, and I would say probably in today's generation, we are seeing the most disconnected church that I've ever known. Now, you might ask the question, how can you say that, Pastor? Well, I can say it because 30 years ago, as I was growing up in the church was the central focus. Church was God-focused, God-centered. It was about God, and we went to learn about God. We went to grow in God and all that. And over time, I've watched this shift to go from a God-centered to a self-centered, make-me-feel-good type thing. And all of a sudden, what has happened is as the churches, we have gone to, well, you know what, I can go into church when I need to, or I can go to a small group if I have the time, but you know what, a lot of things is a truthfully, I don't have a time. Church becomes a choice rather than my life. And as a matter of fact, if you remember back in the day, for those of you who remember this, Wednesday nights and Sundays were non-touched days. The schools didn't touch them, sports didn't touch them, work didn't touch them. I mean, I remember days where businesses were closed. Some of you are going, oh, there it was. You would actually have to go home and cook your own Sunday afternoon lunch. There was the day. Do you know what the two most used days now are for things outside of the church? Wednesdays and Sundays. We are running our kids to things and saying that this is the most important thing. We got to get our kids to their sports game. You want to know something I read recently that has stuck with me and it has hit me. And it was either like a Barna or a Pew Research or one of these places. They said that today the committed attender, now get this word, committed attender, attends church 35% of the time. One third. How effective is that going to be? Whose corner am I picking up if I'm not determined to be involved? Discipleship requires us to be diligent and to have determination, not only to grow myself, but to help my brother and my sister grow in Christ. And as we do this, we'll experience the last part of this story, which was amazing. Discipleship impacts our faith. If we are diligent, if we take action, if we are part of a group and a part of a people, then we find that our faith is impacted as a result. I love what it says in verse 20 of Luke 5 in the text. Jesus, again, this guy just comes dropping through the roof right in front of Jesus, very awkward moment. And what does Jesus, it says Jesus saw their faith. Now notice those words. I often get carried away with the wording of what the scripture says, but it doesn't say that Jesus saw his faith. It didn't say that he saw the faith of the one who was the ringleader that went to the others and say, come on guys, let's carry him, let's go and do it. It says that he saw their faith. All of them, the four of them, plus the paralytic man, they saw their faith, the faith of the group, and as a result, it impacted everyone. Do you think those four guys walked away going, yeah, look at that, he just helped, he healed him, we carried it. Can you imagine how excited those friends were when they saw their friend get up, roll up his mat, and walk out of the house? You have to understand that in those moments that they saw Jesus and their faith was skyrocketed. What is amazing to me is how much growth I experience when I am involved with walking alongside and carrying someone else's mat. You heard a few moments ago the announcement about the small group, Eternity 101. There are other small groups as well that are taking place. Those aren't the only two. We've got others. Again, they're in the foyer. You can fill those up if you want to be a part of it. We encourage you to be a part because this is exactly what this is about. Connecting with others for the purpose of growth. But let me, I have to be honest with you, you know, a little bit of a truth in the moment. So we taught the one class, Eternity 101, and I've taught other small groups, and I have to be honest with you that there were days where I'm sitting there going, I really don't want to go today. And I'm teaching. But you know, it's like you're going, oh man, it's like I got to get changed, I got to get dressed, I got to get in the car, it's cold outside, got to go, and then I got to get back in the cold car afterwards, and by the time I get home, I'm exhausted. You know, you start processing all that, right? And then it's easy, you know, if you're not teaching, it's easy then to go, yeah, I'm just going to stay home. But, you know, the amazing thing to me was in those times when I really didn't want to go, I would go anyways, and I'd be sitting there, and one of two things would happen that night, almost every time. One of them was either somehow through the course of that, I was amazingly blessed by what somebody else had to say. Or I was able to be the blessing to somebody else who needed that. And if I had not gone, if I canceled, or if whatever it would have been, all of a sudden, who knows what kind of an impact would not have been. But I know that when we carry each other's mats, we experience an incredible impact on our faith. Paul says in Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Simple equation. The more that we're in God's word together, the more that we hear, the more that our faith grows. Some may say that, I don't have the time. I don't have the time to go to a small group. Well, let me counter that. You don't have time not to go to a small group. You don't have time not to connect with other believers and grow in the knowledge of who Christ is. I want you to turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to see this in your Bibles because this really points to kind of everything that we're talking about in this one passage. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Understand that He is talking about the church. He is talking about the body. And one of the things that we find throughout even other of Paul's teachings is that in order for the body to function properly, we need to be a part of the body. You know, the arm just can't disconnect and go over and do its own thing. It needs the body. I'm not an individual guy out there trying to grow. Notice what he says. Together with the different parts, we equip one another for service. We together unite and become one in mind in unity of faith. Together we help one another be tossed by winds of every kind of deceit that is out there. You realize there's a lot of teaching out there that is false teaching. Now, I'm not going to go and start naming names, but there's a lot of teaching out there that people bring. You know, I've had conversations with some individuals that have said, I don't go to Bible studies, I don't go to these things, but pastor, I watch this guy online, or I watch these pastors online. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not bad to watch a pastor online, but there are times when they've said that, they've told me the name, and I just kind of go, ugh, really? That's where you're getting your teaching from? And they're like, oh, it's so great. I mean, it's so free. And here's the problem that I have with it. Even if it's good teachers, there's a problem with if all I'm doing is just going and having this one person speaking into my life, because if I am only doing that, then I'm just going to be open to whatever is said out there. And like I said, there have been many times where I had people go, oh, you know what? It is so great. Did you know that we can do this? And I'm like, did you know we can't? The Bible says, no, you can't do it. Well, this guy said that. That guy's wrong. But you know what? Even if you're watching that guy, you come together, you come to a small group, and you're sitting there and you're talking with the people, and you go, hey, you know what? I heard this, and this is what it's talking about. Sounds really cool, right? And somebody else in there goes, hey, you know what? Is that really what the Bible says? You know, let's talk about that a little bit. And all of a sudden, that's what I love, actually, and again, another plug for the Eternity 101 and the other ones that are out there. One of the things that I love is we're sitting there, and one of the questions come up. It's like, do you think that? And all of a sudden, there's a question about heaven or about the Bible or something like that. And you kind of go, well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that. And you begin to grow in your faith because you're not challenging one another in the sense of a bad way, but you're challenging one another to go deeper. You're challenging one another to think better. You're looking at false teachings and you're bringing them in and you're saying, okay, what can we take? What should we not take? And as you're doing this, you're walking through this discipleship life together and you're growing together. As we go through this discipleship process together, it will grow your faith. Guarantee it. If you want to take me up on that challenge, take me up. If you want to come to me in a year and say, you know what, I went to every Bible study, I went to every small group, and I didn't grow at all. Come and tell me, okay? I'll wait for that one. But we have to carry the mat. I want to close by doing this. Take your bulletins or your Bible, front or back or something like that. Because what we're talking about is carrying the mat. We're talking about discipleship as a group. And one of the things that I find is that, again, many people don't do this. For many of us, it's an individual sport, trying to do it on my own. So here's what I want you to do as we close. I want you on your paper or in your Bible and wherever you're doing it, you're going to have a mat. If you want to draw a little rectangle, you can do that. And that's fine. Understand that you can't carry yourself. There's four corners. I want you to write down the name of four people who carry your mat for you. Right now. Four people who carry your mat. Now maybe you're going, I don't know who they are. If you don't know who those individuals are, then do this. I want you to write down the name of people that you want to approach and say, will you carry a corner of my mat? And these are the people that will ask you the questions, that will challenge you in your thinking, and will help you grow in your faith. Because you need people to carry your mat. Who are the four carrying your mat? But then I want you to do this. On top of that, it's not just about having everybody doing it for us. Discipleship is carrying other people's mats as well. So I want you to write down the name of two people who you're carrying their mat, that you're taking up a corner. And again, if you're going, I'm really not, who do you know needs you to carry their mat? And I want you to write their name down. Now, can I throw a curveball into this? Don't do family. That should be a given. Who in the body can you carry their mat? Whose mat are you carrying? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a challenge it is for us to take a corner. Especially when we live in such a self-centered world that we're told time and time again to be all about me, and yet you have called us to be the bearer of others' burdens, the carriers of the mat. Lord, help us not to walk away today just going, that was interesting, but to actually look at those who we can carry into the presence of a God who can heal them. Help us to pick up our corner and to bring our friend to the Savior, to the Healer, to our coming King. And in your name we will give praise. In Jesus' name, amen.